Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with you today. It is 9/11/2001, and we remember 18 years ago on a Tuesday, on a bright, sunny day with a clear sky, that there were two towers that were destroyed along with other buildings in the 9/11 attack against the United States. Whatever source was used, which is still speculative and up for debate, the fact of the matter remains that 2,996 American citizens were killed on 9/11/2001, which opened the door to a new age of security and different types of invasiveness into the private lives of the citizens of the United States of America, which some people thought was a really good idea. We were under attack. That was the way to go. And so regardless of all of that, we remember 9/11/2001 as a day of infamy in the United States of America. And all over the news today, they are having a memorial service down at One World Trade Center, where they are honoring the lives not only of those that died on that day, 9/11, but those who have been dying from different diseases that were connected to that event. And so we continue to remember. And again, you go back 78 years ago to December 7th, 1941, 78 years ago, and the Pearl Harbor event that took place in the United States coming out of World War II, and what came up and out of the sea, if you will, after World War II, was the United Nations, another peacekeeping, quote unquote, force to bring control and to basically police the countries of the world. And so for 78 years, or about 74 years at this point, the United Nations has been in power because of a big attack, 9/11, a big attack. Yet the world is not yet subdued completely under total control, and the fact remains that there's more to come, and that is the sad fact. I want to read out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and then we'll get to the line today and pick up our dear friend Daniel Seckham from Australia. Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, said, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So obviously the Apostle Paul is writing about a day. He calls it the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, a day. And then when you read in verse 4, Paul continued on, but you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. What day? The day of the Lord. You know, you go back in Scripture and you could study many days of the Lord. There were times in the epoch of millennia, in the epoch of times, that there were many days of the Lord. I mean, 586 BC, when the Babylonian armies came into Jerusalem and destroyed, that was a day of the Lord. You go back to Sodom and Gomorrah, that was a day of the Lord. The flood of Noah's time, that was a day of the Lord. And so the day of the Lord has been many times throughout the history of the world, but there is that one and final day of the Lord that is connected to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why reading the signs are so important, because if we understand the signs of his coming, we will be able to navigate through these moments, which I think is very, very powerful for a spirit, for a mind, for a soul, for the mind of man to be able to go through this time and understand what is really happened. But the good news is that you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Now, being not appointed to wrath, if you put it together properly, it is simply declaring that we have not been appointed to the wrath of God. And a simple look at Scripture details and shares with us information that there is the wrath of man, there is the wrath of Satan, there is the wrath of Jesus Christ, and there is the wrath of God. The wrath that we have not been appointed to is the wrath of God, nor the wrath of Christ. Okay? But the great tribulation period in your Bible is not about the wrath of God. It is about the wrath of the dragon. Now, that we know is going to be a time of affliction and persecution and tribulation. We've seen that with the church for 2,000 years. It has had to experience the wrath of the dragon. But there is a final day of the Lord. The tribulation is actually connected to the events concerning the day of the Lord. And we need to not get caught off guard. And that's what Paul is writing about. Nobody knows the time or the season, but we know what is coming upon this earth. And so having said that, let's bring our dear friend Daniel Seckham onto the line today. He's calling all the way from Australia. Daniel, we've given you lots of time to rest and recover from your recent trip to the United States. How are you doing, sir?
Feeling great, and very happy to be back on the line with you.
Well, it's good to have you. And Daniel, I wish there was a way that we could do the Facebook, because right now we're going live on Facebook in our conversation. I'm trusting that you're being heard over the Facebook live video feed. And in either way, we're being heard on Blog Talk Radio and OmegaRadio.org. And so tell us real quick, what was your trip to the United States like? Did you see great success? Did you feel like you poured out what God had put in your heart? Tell us about your trip to the U.S. recently.
I think it exceeded my expectations, to be honest with you. I was a little bit apprehensive about certain parts of the trip. There are some question marks over where I was supposed to be going and what I was going to be doing, but the whole trip was fruitful from beginning to end. Like, I arrived in Tyler, Texas, and spoke at the Understanding the Times conference, which was a wonderful conference. which was a tremendous success. And Becky Wagner, the organizer, did a superb job. So full credit to what she has done there, along with all the people who have helped. But yeah, after that conference, I got on a very early flight and headed up to Canada, to Toronto, and was at the Lausanne Consultation of Jewish Evangelism Conference, which was another wonderful, wonderful conference, and a networking paradise. Met some of the most incredible people up there, made some wonderful contacts. After that, I Ubered down to the Niagara Falls and got to see the Niagara Falls, which was absolutely spectacular. Very glad that I did that. And then slipped across the border, caught a plane from Buffalo, New York, to New York City, and was basically based in Long Island for a week. And while I was there in Long Island, I spoke at a combined church service with three congregations that came together. Spoke at a did a radio interview with Andy White from Open Up the Doors. And all, during my time there in Long Island, I actually ended up meeting up with six pastors, which was a real honor. And it was really encouraging to see that God is doing some exciting things on that particular island, where you would think was pretty godless, but God is not finished with Long Island. He's still doing some very exciting things there. Then after Long Island, I got that miracle flight, if you remember, Pastor Vincent, to Northwest Arkansas. So that was a bit of a miracle, because basically I wasn't given much chance to arrive at the time, which I did. But God turned the tables, and not only was I able to catch that flight, but I got a really nice window seat. So from there, I got headed into Northwest Arkansas. It was great to be with those people. I spoke at a three-day conference on the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Then after that, left there, went back down to Tyler, Texas, and did a few meetings, did a prayer breakfast and three Bible studies, and spoke at a cowboy church, which was a real honor, and was really interesting, to be honest with you. I really enjoyed it. And then after that, headed home. So it was a big tour, but thoroughly enjoyed every second of it, and God was moving the whole time.
Well, amen. You didn't mention you came to Northwest Arkansas, did you? And you had a great conference in Northwest Arkansas. You did. Okay, good. I have people that are watching us on the Facebook right now, and some are saying they can't hear us. And quite frankly, I'm not sure what to do about that. I'm just not sure what to do with the live Facebook. So anybody that's watching on Facebook right now, we apologize. We have not perfected the system on how to communicate with our speaker, but you can listen live on the Omega Radio Network and on Blog Talk Radio, and you could also call in at 818-369-0326 if you want to ask questions today. We'll do our best with Facebook, Daniel. Maybe you could actually show me how that works at some point. But getting back to your conversation, you've been on a journey. You went, you flew back home, you reconnected with your family, and we're hearing the rumors that you are going to be coming out for the Feast of Tabernacles 2019. Are we clear on that? We want to hear from the evangelist's mouth.
Yeah. So I'm planning on coming back for the Feast of Tabernacles conference. So looking forward to that. After that conference, planning on possibly heading back down to Tyler, Texas. So still unconfirmed, but in regard to the Texas aspect of the trip, but definitely will be there for the Feast of Tabernacles conference. Looking forward to that.
Okay, so when you come in October for the Feast of Tabernacles, do you have other appointments that you're going to be going to during that time, or are you basically coming directly?
Possibly.
Okay, so that you're working things out on that. All right, so Let me ask you this. When you leave, when you get here, we'll get the dates set up, and Of course, this is a glorious 7-day feast, and you know, people are being invited. We have a lot of people doing the hosting work right now, and we're making our preparations. So we are looking forward to seeing you, Daniel. Shifting just a little bit, today is 9/11/2001. Any particular thoughts about that?
I've been thinking a lot about 9/11. In fact, it's pretty much dominated my thoughts all day today, thinking about the impact of that particular day, the fateful day, when Islam basically announced itself in the Western conscience. It announced itself in the world stage and embedded itself in the Western conscience and has stayed in the national conversation ever since. You know, the world changed forever. It changed forever on 9/11. And the reverberations from that infamous day have gone all over the world. Even felt in my own country, where even, you know, everything changed. All security procedures changed, but also worldviews changed, the way that we looked at things. We, you know, Islam again became part of the national conversation, even here in Australia. So it's really interesting just how much that fateful day has impacted the West, and the world has never been the same. I think in many ways that September 11 was a glimpse. September 11 was a foretaste. It was a foreshadowing of that which is to come. I believe that September 11 was a warning. God was warning America, and not just America, but the West. He was warning the West warning them to repent, to wake up from its slumber. And the question needs to be asked, has the West heeded the warning? And unfortunately, I would have to say no. I don't believe that the world, that America has heeded the warning. I think if anything, America has doubled down and has become even more depraved, even more sinful, even more rebellious. And considering that, I started to think that if 9/11 was a foretaste, was a foreshadowing, I'd hate to see what the final fulfillment of that would be. And I believe it will be terrifying to behold.
And Daniel, let me challenge some of the things that you said, and I want to do this on purpose. I'm standing in agreement with you, but what about the individuals that say, wait a second, Daniel Seckham, America is a great nation, and there are more good people in this nation than bad people. And even though our government leaders and officials have opened the door to abortion and homosexuality and all these different issues, and yes, there's corruption coming out of Hollywood, but for the main part, America is good, and the people are good, and God is not angry at America. He's angry at, you know, sinners every day, but he's a God of love and mercy and salvation. And so are you not cursing the United States by putting those thoughts out rather than getting behind the prayer movements to make America great again, the political movements to make America great again? Why are you constantly suggesting that America is not good? Why are you saying that? You know, this is what many people are asking, and they're recognizing we're the greatest nation on the face of the earth, not the least, not the worst. And so why all the negativity against America? What's going on with this? What would you respond to that?
That's a great question, and I'm glad that you are playing the devil's advocate, because people need to get it. I guess a bit of a perspective in regard to this. You know, if you were to ask someone what water is like, you don't ask a fish, because a fish lives in it every day. But for me, being an Australian and being an outsider looking in, yes, America is exceptional, and America is great because of its heritage, its Christian heritage, and it's become a superpower because of a number of different reasons. It's unity, because there is an unabashed pride in its Christian heritage, and also because of its of how it's treated the Jewish people within it. and its favor towards Israel. And I think there are a number of contributing factors that go toward America's success, especially when you look at Alexis de Tocqueville, when he wrote in his book Democracy in America, and when he says, "Oh, when I searched for the reason behind the greatness of America," and he went on all these different reasons, but he said it was not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. So that was the secret, but that was hundreds of years ago. Now America is completely different. Yes, there are pockets within America that love the Lord, that are completely sold out for Jesus. However, if you were to consider America in regard to the public face of America, in regard to the media, in regard to the academia, in regard to the what's being spewed out of Hollywood, in regard to its pornography industry, when you consider all the different aspects in regard to in which America is influencing the world for evil, one must ask the question, you know, how much longer is God, will God tarry? How much longer will he turn a blind eye to this? You know, I actually very much agree with Billy Graham when he said if God were to excuse America for her sins, he would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And I believe that Billy Graham was 100% right. I think many Americans have actually really become desensitized to the extreme nature of the sin that is actually coming out of this country. I mean, the sin is that extreme that it is piled up to heaven. And what makes it worse for America is its foundations. Its foundations and its heritage and its history is soaked in Christianity. Considering that its foundations and heritage is soaked in Christianity, it leaves America without excuse. And this is a principle that you will find out that you see right throughout Scripture. Remember what Jesus said. He said, "It will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than it would be for you." Who did he say that to? Well, he said that to Capernaum. He said that to all the neighboring towns and villages around the shores of the Sea of Galilee, because when he visited them and he preached there, they rejected him. And yet he said it would be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it would be for you. Why did he say that? He said that because Jesus was in their midst, because they were the ones who were privileged to actually hear the very words of Jesus. And yet Sodom and Gomorrah didn't. Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have a Bible to prick their conscience, whereas America has had a history and a heritage that is soaked in the truth, that is soaked in Christianity. They cannot claim ignorance in regard to this, because they have been brought up with the Gospels and brought up with Christianity that has permeated its being for the past, you know, ever since its inception for the past 300 years. So it just goes to show that the more that you know, the more responsibility that goes along with that. Remember that Paul said that Bible teachers will be judged much more severely. Why is that? Well, because they have the responsibility of teaching the truth. You know, the same thing goes with Israel. Why Israel is judged more severely than the rest of the nations? Because, again, as you find when Paul said, "Is there any advantage in being a Jew?" And then he says, "Yes, much in every way, for they hold the oracles of God." So considering that they have the oracles of God, that they possess the very words of God, they will be judged so much more severely as a result of that, because of that privilege that they have, because of that responsibility that they have. And the same goes with America. America should know better. It has no excuse. And as a result of the extreme sin that it is promoting, then and it's not just the sexual immorality and the sexual perversions, but it's also the abortion. You know, over 50 million babies have been killed since Roe versus Wade. And that is an indictment upon this nation, and God will not turn a blind eye to it whatsoever. So we pray that for America, in the sense that we pray that God will strengthen that which remains. And we also ask that God will have mercy on those peoples who are crying out to him and who will love him. Remember what Jesus said. He said, pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen. So we need to pray that when God does pour out his judgment upon the nation, and not just America, but also Australia and other Western nations, we need to pray that God will provide a way of escape, that God will provide a way in which the righteous people can avoid the judgment that's being poured out upon the nations. And I believe God will be merciful and God will be gracious in regard to that.
So, Daniel, when we go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, there are many verses in the Bible that talk about this. And right now, to try to convince an American that there's a problem with God when we have stadiums. I mean, football season has just begun in America. Baseball season's underway. Stadiums across this nation packing 50, 60, 70, 80,000 people for a football game. Massive mega churches. Everything in America. China doesn't want to mess with America because they know something about our military power. So how does a person living in such a nation as America feel threatened, especially? And I just want to relay this story. A couple of years ago, I was in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and there was a push to open the door to the homosexual agenda, to begin to legalize different things in the workplace, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember one of the board members crying out, saying, listen, all you people that are so afraid of the homosexual movement, go look at San Francisco. It is the capital of homosexuality. And at that moment, it boasted the largest powerful economy in the country. And they basically began to mock at all the fear mongering that was going on about homosexuality and that type of thing. So today we have massive stadiums, mega churches, massive media. We have Hollywood. We have all this high powered stuff going on, including a military power. Why would anybody in this country think for a second that there's a problem? In fact, if somebody is just now joining the conversation, wouldn't they say something like, well, you know, if God was against America, then Hurricane Doreen wouldn't have just destroyed the Bahamas, which is his own country. But when it came to the United States, it was literally prayed away. It didn't touch the United States at all. How do you respond to something like that?
Well, again, I think God is showing mercy, and he has been showing mercy for a long, long, long time. But the time will come when God will say, enough. You know, like the time came when the door of the ark was closed. See, God will wait until a certain time. He's extending out his hands of mercy. Excuse me, sorry, to the American people. He's holding out his hands, waiting for them to repent, urging them to repent. But will they repent? Well, I think from what we have seen, for the most part, I don't believe so. You mentioned that that there was Walmart executive who was basically saying, "Well, look at San Francisco. You know, I mean, they boast of the strongest economy in America, and blah 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 blah." But now, oh gosh, you look at San Francisco now, and they are pretty much on path along with Los Angeles, to becoming like a mini Venezuela. I mean, they are leading the nation in regard to public defecations, in regard to the amount of drug needles that is littering the streets. I mean, it's turned into an absolute eyesore in regard to that. And I mean, it's really has gone so ridiculous. I mean, there were officials within San Francisco that last week they voted to designate the NRA as a domestic terrorist organization. I mean, the people from San Francisco, particularly the elites, have gone absolutely bat crazy. They've gone insane. So I think really what that Walmart executive said, I mean, gosh, he really should have been. I guess at that particular time, the San Francisco was doing pretty well. But now when you look at San Francisco and Los Angeles, they're going down the gurgler. I mean, God's judgment will eventually catch up with a nation or with a company or with a state or with a city that defies it. I mean, it'll just be a matter of time before God will deal with those organizations or deal with those nations in regard to their sin and take it to the bank, including Australia. We as we voted in gay marriage in November last year, you know, I'm telling you that it will catch up with this country. Back then, we didn't really hear anything in regard to the threat of China, but now the threat of China is basically being reminded to us just about nearly every week. So we are now living under the shadow of China and America. Gosh, you know, as you said, Pastor Vincent, from that scripture you just read out previously, you know, it says everybody will be saying peace and safety, but all of a sudden disaster will come upon them. I think that's a very apt description of what will happen to the left, to the Western nations, and in particularly America. So, yes, there's a lot to think about.
Okay, so rather than playing devil's advocate any further, we basically can sit back and understand through a biblical lens and through the Spirit of God that the West Coast has been absolutely set up for judgment. The crisis will eventually meet with the West Coast. We're seeing judgment all over this country. And for anybody that would wake up and say, well, look how God protected America during this storm, this hurricane. Well, just go back a year ago and see how Florida and how Houston and how many other storms have hit the nation, the wildfires, the shootings that are going on in our country. We are not a safe and sane nation, but we have a cry saying peace and safety. And so, again, it's the delusion, and it's what people are presented with, the information through television, commercials, news media, et cetera, that basically directs their mind to think something. But, Daniel, when we look through the biblical lens, it's so absolutely obvious globally that everything that the Word of God speaks concerning the coming great tribulation, persecution, war, destruction is at the door. I mean, it's blowing the door down right now. And we simply agree.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, the signs are all there. I mean, you know, it's interesting. Jesus said, when you see all these things, he said, when you see all these things, because all those things he mentioned in regard to the Olivet Discourse, in regard to the rumors of wars and wars and rumors of wars, in regard to the great falling away, in regard to the increase of wickedness, in regard to the persecution, all those things are presenting themselves at the same time. And this is the day that we are living in right now. There is a tremendous sense of urgency, and all the signs are screaming at us, and we would do well if we paid attention and in regard to what the signs are saying. And we, at the end of the day, we need to get right with God. We need to align our hearts with the Lord in regard to these days.
Well, amen to that. Daniel, we're about 26 minutes away from heading into another direction. We're going to go on KIRM Radio in about an hour and 20 minutes. What specifically? I know we're talking about things, and it appears like we're oftentimes, you know, just kind of going over and over. But faith comes by hearing and hearing. And we believe that preparation is everything. And yet we're living at a time where there's a great wall of resistance and mockery and perhaps a little scoffing and warfare against the whole idea that the end of the world is here. How do you respond to something like that?
Well, you know, they mocked Noah. I mean, they made a mockery of him. And in fact, I think it was even worse for Noah because it had never rained before that. I mean, if you look at the book of Genesis, it says that water would come up from the earth and would water the plants. There was actually no rain before that because that when the it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, the firmament actually collapsed in on itself, and which basically caused a massive deluge to come down from above. And we also know that the sources of the deep below broke forth, and so we know that there was water coming up from beneath and water coming down from above. So, but Noah was a righteous man. And he faithfully preached to the people, saying to them, if you do not repent, then basically it will rain and you'll drown. And yet they laughed at him. And yet they do the same thing for us. They do the exact same thing to us. They laugh at us when we say that we believe that that Jesus is coming back, because they are absolutely blinded. Absolutely blinded. And you know, it's interesting in regard to the attitudes of the people. They mock us, they laugh at us, yet in the same token, these people are absolutely under the most powerful delusion, you know, that I've ever seen. I mean, I just posted an article today about in Canada. In regard, they have a website in regard to the Canadian health website, and basically the Canadian Cancer Society is using a transgender woman on the cervical cancer page. I mean, this is absolutely gobsmackingly ridiculous, you know, but despite not being anatomically equipped to qualify for the procedure, it's really what it's all about is giving these individuals the procedure is supposedly to provide them with a confidence boost. I mean, goodness me, the fact that the West has gone that crazy, that it is bending over backwards to appease a tiny minority of people. You know that the future of the West is really up in the air in regard to that. But there's even more examples of ridiculousness in regard to that. Just another article I saw today was that where it says that the 9/11 Senate hearing, at the 9/11 Senate hearing, there was no mention of radical Islam, while they did say that climate change is a major threat. I mean, for crying out loud, the fact that these people are so delusional, these people are so blinded by their own political correctness paralysis that they just do not have the courage to address political Islam, and to they just do not have the courage. They are under this madness. This is the whole thing with the emperor's new clothes. You know that, you know the story how they said, well, you know, here's some new clothes, and really it was all a hoax. You know, it was a hoax from the very beginning, but the king went along with it anyway, thinking that they could actually see his clothes, and everybody wanted to act like, wanted to stay in step with the king. So, of course, they all acknowledged and said, well, yes, the king's new clothes are wonderful, when in reality, he wasn't wearing anything at all. And as the story goes, it was the children who basically pointed at him and laughed and said that the king's not wearing any clothes. So there's this political correctness paralysis in which people are absolutely paralyzed where they cannot say anything negative about Islam, where they cannot say anything negative about the left or anything negative about the LGBT. I mean, what an extraordinary time to be living in which these people from the in regard to these people are absolutely hogtied. They cannot say anything. They are terrified about their reputations. They are absolutely terrified about what the public's perception of them. So they will say anything and do and support anything ludicrous in an effort to stay within the social acceptance. This is where we're at the moment, and it's absolutely appalling when you just see the depth of this craziness, the depth of this madness in which the West is trying to appease Islam.
Absolutely, and it goes along with the madness as they're mad upon their idols. And would it be fair to say, Daniel, that, you know, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we say there's a lot of good people in the world today, and there's a lot of evil people in the world today. But the fact of the matter is there is no goodness outside of the goodness of the righteousness of God. So maybe there are a lot of good people in America that like to help. I mean, I know mafia people that give to causes, you know, Masons give to causes. I go on down the list. The thing is, being good does not necessitate a salvation. It is only the righteous who have received the righteousness that God gives, which is a righteousness that comes by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that righteousness, those who put on the robes of righteousness, you know, they are the ones that are going to walk through this season and are going to be declared right from God's standard. Good people are not right in God's eyes. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everything rises and falls on where you're at with Jesus. I mean, if you are in a relationship with Jesus, then you can be at peace knowing that no matter what happens, you know, if you died today, you'll be in the presence of the Lord. So it's a wonderful, wonderful self-assurance to actually have in regards to that.
And Daniel, doesn't it say in Revelation chapter 3, when Jesus was addressing the church at Sardis, he gets down to a place in verse 4. He says, "You have a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white." And so the garments were given, the salvation garments, but the majority of the people have defiled their garments. And the few that will walk with him in white are the overcomers of that dispensation where they were getting spots, wrinkles, blemishes, and their garments were becoming moth-eaten in a sense. I mean, they were so defiled, they were no good for salvation anymore, so he calls them to repentance. Isn't this a moment? Don't you kind of get the feeling that we're living in a moment where it is imperative to keep our garments clean and undefiled?
Absolutely, and this is the whole blessing of the end times teaching. End times preaching prepares the church. It keeps the church in a state of readiness. You know, this is the whole purpose of the parable in regard to the master who puts his house. Basically, he tells the head servant to take care of the house while he's away. So the master goes away, and the head servant says to himself, "Well, my master's gone away for a long time." And what does he do? Well, he gets drunk and he ends up beating up the servants. And what happens? Well, the master comes back at a time when he does not expect him. And what happens? He is torn to pieces in front of the master. Very, very, very sobering in the sense that the judgment of that particular servant was that the master would come back at a time when he does not expect him. So the end times teaching brings about this expectation that he's coming, and that we want to be ready, that we want to have our robes washed and clean. We want to live holy lives that is worthy of him, so that when he comes back on that day, when we will not be caught off guard, but we will look at the signs and know the approximate time and season in which he will return. And when that happens, we will be able to stand before the Son of Man. And I think that's a really, really, really important thing to strive for.
Daniel, I believe that there are many Christians, men and women, believers, followers of Jesus Christ in an authentic way that are walking through the earth right now that are undergoing a severe trial. And Peter writes to the church and says, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some new thing is happening just to you, but your brethren around the world are undergoing the same severe trial. And do you sense that globally that there's something happening in the spiritual realm that God is just moving, and he just will not exhaust, he won't stop. He's like inexhaustive desire passionately to get his bride ready. Are you sensing that where men and women of God who are finding themselves lacking in their walk with the Lord, they're finding the deficiencies, they're finding the spots, the wrinkles, they're being exposed by the Spirit of God, these areas of their life that are not cleaned up before God, and yet that is God's desirable purpose to not condemn but to reveal for the purpose of getting cleaned up to be that spotless bride. Do you sense that happening right now?
Yes, and that's a good point. I think persecution is actually a very big motivating factor in preparing the church. Persecution is going to shake up the church. It's going to shake the church up out of its slumber. And especially the churches that are very, very comfortable here in the West. You know, the church is, I think about that rebuke that Jesus said, you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Really, that can be said of the church, many of the churches in the West today. Many of these churches have such a reputation of being alive, but in reality, if you were to take those people out of those churches and transport them to the church, the underground church in China, or send them to the church down in the church in Chile or Brazil, in one of those South American churches, or send them to a church, an underground church in the Middle East. I mean, these people will be waking up from their slumber. They would all of a sudden get a reality that the church that they are a part of in America, really, in when you contrast it with the other churches around the world, it's not in a good place at all. In fact, because of the comfort and the security that we have here in the West, it has lulled us into a sleep. And it is going to take persecution. And when the persecution comes, it's going to wake many of us up out of our slumber, and our faith will become real and alive and authentic once again.
Well, amen to that. And it's, as we're talking, I'm going back to the beginning days of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, when he came to this earth. You had Greek mythology, you had Roman mythology, you had the gods of the Grecians, the gods of the Romans. It was so deplorable at that time that the Caesars were to be considered as gods and they were to be worshipped. And yet the early church went out of their way to exalt Jesus Christ. And as they exalted him with power of the Holy Spirit, they began to dethrone and cast down those principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Now, we fast forward to today in America, who once exalted Jesus Christ within our nation and brought the prosperity and blessing that we all have received, has now replaced Jesus with the gods of technology, the gods of this, that, and the other thing. And I love the words of the Apostle Paul, but he said this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'll just pick it up in verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. So what is Paul saying? The only right thing for everybody to do that is a Christian today is to once again exalt the gospel of Jesus Christ and exalt the King, Jesus, without preferring men, without being men pleasers, without being using a cloak of covetousness, without using flattering words. Speak the word of God to a nation that is drowning in perdition, right, Daniel?
Yep. Yep, 100%. 100%. May we never lose our call for repentance. You know, this is really, you know, it's so interesting, Pastor Vincent, that we, being September 11, I just shared a video on the Israel, Islam, and End Times page, and it was a message by Carter Conlon. He's the pastor at Times Square Church. And he preached such a powerful and unforgettable message, which was on the Sunday following the September 11 attacks. And like, I posted the video of that on my Israel, Islam, and End Times page. And if there's anyone here listening, I encourage you to go to the Israel, Islam, and End Times Facebook page and look for that video that I've just posted, because it really, really is stirring. And Carter Conlon, passionately, he pleads with tears and says to the people who are living in this world to flee, to run, to come out from her, and to flee from immorality, to run for your lives. And you know, like, and over, he talks about the different things in which Christians can be caught up with. They can be caught up with the prosperity gospel. He can be caught up with false teachers. They can be caught up with the love of money. And he says, run, flee, run for your lives. And as he's preaching, my spirit is absolutely stirred and convicted. And boy, I just think that the Holy Spirit has just anointed and breathed his breath into that message as a stern warning for the Western church to wake up from its slumber. And that really is the message for the American church today, to wake up, to wake up, to wake up. I think that's so important, you know, to wake up and to strengthen that which remains. And because the Lord's return is closer now than it was ever before, and the signs are all there. Jesus said, when you see all these signs, you know that the return is near, right at the door.
Wow. Yeah, being watchful, being sober, and just not getting distracted by the things of the world. Now, that Carter Conlon, Pastor Conlon from Times Square Church, you said his message was in 2001, it was just a couple of weeks after 2001 event.
It was the Sunday. It was the actual following Sunday after the event. I think it was on the 16th, September the 16th in 2001. But it's called Run for Your Life.
Run for Your Life,
by Carter Conlon, Run for Your Life, yeah.
Oh, all right. I want to get that. We'll put that up on the Omega Radio Network. Hey, I know you're getting ready for Betty by, what time is it in Australia right now?
It's actually almost 1 o'clock, and I apologize because I've been struggling tonight. I've been trying to keep my thoughts together, and my thoughts have been, you know, I've had sheep jumping over the fence in front of me, and I've been trying to stay on track.
You're doing a great job, man. This is quite a sacrifice to stay up until 1 o'clock in the morning. God, you know, I'm going to let you go, Daniel, and just, we're going to look forward to seeing you in about 30 days. The October 13th Feast of Tabernacles will begin, and we'll make sure that you get lots of rest before you get here. And thanks for joining us. And maybe what we'll do, rather than keeping you up until 1 o'clock in the morning, is we'll find a way to do a broadcast, maybe where it's convenient for you again, and where you're much more alive and perky. But I know I want to thank you, and I want to bless you and you for your journey here. And thank you for bringing the truth, and thank you for bringing light, and thank you for not flattering people or pleasing men, but just bringing the word that God has downloaded in your spirit. And we want to just say God bless you, my dear friend and brother Daniel Seckham. Shalom to you, my friend.
Thank you, my brother. God bless.
Yeah, get some rest. All right, Daniel Seckham calling all the way from Australia. We actually have a few calls coming in right now. I hope they weren't for Daniel. I let him go. But let me say good morning to Ken and Kathy in South Dakota. How are you both today?
Yes, just fine. I do have a question. You know, I've been listening to the program, and, you know, being as if they're commemorating the 9/11 thing that happened here in America and that. Now, according to the Bible, the chain of command for a human being is we're to honor God first, and then our parents, and then is it our nation? What is your opinion of that?
Huh, that's a great one. You know, I don't think there's any particular code. I just kind of leave it with, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I leave it right there. But we are called in the scripture, and if we're going to honor God, then we would honor our mother and father. And so I think the scriptures, putting God first, kind of solves everything else. And as far as loving your country, always there have been patriots. Always there have been patriots. But every patriot has to remember that this world is not our home, and that we are to be salt and light wherever we go. And again, that's just putting God first. And that's my understanding of it. Maybe it needs some more depth.
No, that's good. That's good because, you know, a lot of people, they do put other things before God Almighty. And like you said, we're just pilgrims. We're just passing through, and everybody has different nations. And, you know, you've traveled a lot yourself, and I've been in different countries and that. And people are, you know, they always say when they're in some other country, they say, well, we're going home. We're going back to America, or we're going back to Australia or Romania or Russia. The home is home. Well, you're, you know, on this earth, but there is a home. I believe that's the one we really are waiting for.
Yes. And Kathy, have you stopped and thought about how quiet the news media has been about Jeffrey Epstein? How quiet the news is right now, even about the Bahamas. Have you stopped for just a moment and thought, right 70 miles to 100 miles away from Florida, there are people that are suffering and hurting so bad right now. They have been devastated. We don't know what the death toll is going to bring. But, you know, here we are, you know, we're moving about our business. But we just went through this thing where people have been absolutely devastated. And for some reason, I just find that eerily silent, that people are not looking at things from a proper lens of saying, you know, we do need to be sober because the hurt that is coming upon the nations of the earth is very real. And I love what Daniel said about the church in the West being kind of, you know, where we are, because churches around the world, believers around the world, are being persecuted severely for their faith in Christ. And it has to be only a matter of time before that persecution will rise strong in the United States of America. Your thoughts?
Well, it seems like it's this way. Until something it hits your own backyard, you're really not concerned. But once it hits there, you'll start having compassion when it's in other places. But it hits your backyard first, and then you will have that compassion.
Yeah, the compassion, and yet the people suffering so terribly. We need to prepare. We're going to continue to prepare. We trust that everybody's doing well out there. Kathy, I want to thank you once again for calling. Good to hear from you and Ken. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right, and what we're going to do at this point is just wind things down. I want you to know we're going to try the Facebook thing again over at Kerm Radio. So in 1 hour, we will be broadcasting live on Kerm Radio. We're going to take our phone with us. We're going to push the little Facebook thing. We're going to continue to try to get the message out a little bit further, a little broader. That was at the behest of some friends that said we needed to do that. And if you happen to know how to make things work in the technical realm, like Facebook, I would love to have had Daniel videoed and heard on that Facebook. Maybe you know how to do something like that. We have a couple of technical things we'd like to get done. Want to remind everybody that the upcoming Feast of Tabernacles begins on October 13th. We hope to see you there. We're going to say goodbye for now. And over at omegaradio.org, there's a roundtable discussion talking about dealing with the spirit of iniquity. You don't want to miss that. That's happening right now on omegaradio.org. See you tomorrow. This is Pastor Vince. God bless everybody.